be noisy or it's quiet. The reason I'm here on my own this morning is all the family are at home and Chris is busy cooking lunch, and it's going to be a manic afternoon with three granddaughters. But no more about that. They'll probably get the indigestion as well afterwards with it all. But it's all over for another year. The nativities, plays have all gone. The mince pies are eaten. The Christmas cake probably still untouched. And we can say goodbye to all these things for another year. The angels have gone back to heaven. The magi returned to their eastern country. And the shepherds have gone back to watching their flocks by night. All done and dusted. That's it. Our nativity here has all been packed away. And it's all over. Well, actually, it's not all over. Because what we're going to look at today is what happened next in the nativity story. This bit gets left out of it at Christmas. We do our nativity plays, but have you ever seen Simeon and Anna in a nativity play? And yet, more space is given to them than to the shepherds and the magi and things. That's quite interesting. Well, according to the law of Moses, Jesus had to be dedicated to God and circumcised when he was 8 days old. And then after another 38 days, Mary and Joseph and Jesus had to travel to Jerusalem in accordance with the law, which we read about, to offer sacrifices for Mary for her cleansing. And this is stipulated in Leviticus chapter 12, verses 2 to 4. And then, after this, they had to flee to Egypt to escape the death threats coming from Herod when he discovered about this new king that had been born. So the first Christmas was anything but peaceful and straightforward. And for Joseph and Mary, as they went to that census, had no idea what was going to happen in the next few months of their lives. But Luke introduces us to two people who knew exactly what was going to happen, to Anna and to Simeon. For them, this was not a surprise. They were actually there expecting it. We don't know how God revealed this information to them, but we read that there were two very godly people who were in the temple on a very regular basis. Anna almost implied that she actually lived within the temple courts in some way. And they were waiting for this couple to arrive with a child and knew which child they were expecting, because there were probably lots of people arriving to do according to the law over the weeks in accordance with this law that they had to go to the temple. And yet, as we said, they very rarely, if ever, get mentioned in the nativity plays. But they both give an explanation for the events that have just happened. And in Luke chapter 2, verse 34, then Simeon blessed them and said to his mother Mary, "This child is destined to cause the falling and rising of many in Israel, and to be a sign that will be spoken against them, so that the thoughts of many hearts will be revealed, and a sword will pierce your own soul too." And of course we know that was fulfilled as Mary watched her son being crucified another 33 years down the line. This child in a protective bundle of clothes in his mother's arms, being coming to be dedicated, was destined to die on the cross. And Mary will witness it all. And within this context, Simeon was at peace with God. And so he was at peace with himself. I just want to share a few thoughts about this. This morning, this peace. Why was he in such peace? Well, he was a man who was open to what God wanted to say to him. And he was moved by the Holy Spirit to go to the temple on the exact day that the baby Jesus was presented and dedicated to God. How easy it is for us in our busy day-by-day lives, especially at this Christmas time, that we can sometimes miss what God might be wanting to say to us. We need to be open to God speaking to us. But he knew what the outcome of the birth of the Lord Jesus would achieve, both for the Gentiles, interestingly, as well as for the Jewish nation. God's salvation had come. Sovereign Lord, as you have now promised, you may now dismiss your servant in peace, for my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the sight of all nations, a light of revelation to the Gentiles and the glory of your people Israel. It's interesting, he puts the Gentiles before the people of Israel. I mean, you'd have thought he'd have done it the other way around. You know, the Jewish people, we are God's people. But no, he puts the Gentiles first. This is a revelation from God. And now he was happy to die. Have you met Jesus? Are you happy to die today? This man was happy to die. And that's a very strange thought, really, for us to come to terms with. You'd have thought that he'd have wanted to watch the development of this baby. He would have wanted to see him grow up, see how he would achieve the purposes that God had for him, to see how his ministry would develop, and to listen to his teachings about God and his relationship to the world. But no, he is content, having seen the Lord Jesus Christ as a month-old baby, the fulfillment of God's promises, and he was more than happy to die with that knowledge. God had fulfilled his promise to provide a saviour. Simeon had seen him and was content with that. His faith in God was such that he now didn't need to see the baby grow up and demonstrate what had been revealed to him. This was his faith and his trust with God, and he was at peace with himself. Remember, he lived in a world where the Jewish nation was under oppression from the Romans. The whole census was a Roman thing to get Mary to where she ought to be, in Bethlehem. History seems to indicate that the tax that was they went and registered for was never taken, but it did get Mary to where she ought to be. And having seen all this, you'd have thought he would have wanted to go on, but no, he was now at peace with himself. Peace is often associated with a lack of conflict. Technically, we are not at war with any other nation. Therefore, we are at peace. But of course, the events that we see daily in our newspapers and on the television news show exactly that that isn't correct. There's an internal war going on amongst peoples. But peace with God. And just a simple question and thought today is that, are you really at peace with God? You may have known God in your lives for many, many, many years. But are you at peace with God? We live in troubled times, but have we got that peace that God wants to give us? God said, or Jesus said in John 14, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give you. I do not give you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled and do not be afraid." And he goes on to encourage them to trust in him as they're trusted in God. This world cannot compete giving peace that God gives us. This world, in fact, cannot give us peace at all. And we see that in our own country. Mentioned in the prayers that the Brexit divide, which has set our country at war within ourselves. And in amongst all of this, whatever position you take on it, it's irrelevant. But we need to get at peace with God and at peace with ourselves. And this peace that Jesus gave to his disciples was an active peace. It wasn't just sentimental. It was an active peace that they were going to have when the Holy Spirit came on them. And they experienced that in their lives. And they went out to face a hostile world. When you read the book of Acts, you find that the disciples went out and they got into all sorts of difficulties preaching God's word. And many of them were crucified. Legend says Peter was crucified upside down. Paul suffered so many problems. You often think of Paul as a sort of a nice man, but if you read some of his words in Corinthians, you discover that life was anything but easy for Paul, the things he endured as being a Christian, and yet he had peace within himself. And Simeon, and we assume Anna, knew that peace with God, and they trusted in God, in what God had revealed to them. And therefore, they were at peace with themselves. So we need to have that peace with God in the first place in our lives. And we need to have peace in our own lives. Are you at peace with yourself as we live in our complicated world? We live in, as I said, in this increasingly bitter and divided country and in the world at general. And the only way that we can survive as God's people within this context is by experiencing the peace that God wants to give them. Jesus encouraged them, as I said, that peace I leave with you. And this was the encouragement that his disciples needed. But the only way we can have peace with ourselves is to really experience the peace that God wants to give us. And whether we truly know God in our lives, as we sang in that children's song, you know, God has come and given his life for us, and for God so loved the world, so that we might come to a relationship with God and to experience a peace with God. And we need to experience that in our world day by day. So, just some few thoughts to close with. Are you at peace this Christmas time and into the new year? Are we living with that sense of God's presence and God's peace within our lives, whatever may happen? And I know for many people in our church, they're going through difficult times. Life isn't easy sometimes, and we struggle in all sorts of areas. But underpinning all of our lives, there should be that real peace and satisfaction in knowing God within our lives, despite what our circumstances are, because our circumstances do not dictate how our relationship to God is. And God doesn't promise us an easy life. God gives us his peace and his blessing, and with those words, I will be with you forever. I will never leave you nor forsake you. And that's God dealing with us as we live in this world. He doesn't take us out of this world. He leaves us in it because we have a work to do, and he wants us to be his witnesses in this world. But we need to know that peace in our lives day by day, and to trust him completely through his word in the Bible. God has promised us all that we need, everything, and it's all recorded in God's world for us to know. And we're going to sing our closing song now. We're going to finish.